Yes. Okay. Hi. Again, welcome. Thanks for coming to this session. My name is Jeff Bethel, faculty at Oregon State University College of Public Health and Human Sciences, and just in the end of my sixth year there at Oregon State. So today I'm going to talk about a student-led CASPER. Little background. So I'm a faculty in the MPH in the EPI program there. It's a relatively new program within the MPH program. I think we're in year 8 or 9. So we're developing new EPI content courses all the time. And in my third year there at OSU, I had the opportunity to develop a new EPI content class. And I chose to develop a disaster EPI class. And when I was putting it together, good timing, Michael Heumann's walking in, I reached out to some experts in the field, literally in the field, working for public health practice, and I asked them for some feedback on what should I include in this course. And Michael gave me some tips, and which I'll show you on the next slide. But above all, I really wanted to get the students out of the classroom. Remember my training, only time we got out of the classroom was to walk down the hall to a lab. So I thought it was important to get students out in the field to really enhance their learning experience. So Michael pointed me to, at the time, was the disaster EPI white paper from CSTE, later became the AJPH article. And this was really the framework for the whole class, was this disaster EPI actions and the disaster management cycle. So this figure shows the different disaster EPI actions at each stage in the disaster management cycle, from the pre-disaster phase, EPI studies, descriptive analytic studies. The disaster phase, looking at surveillance of affected communities and first responders and rapid needs assessments, to the post-disaster phase, looking at tracking and registry. So throughout the course, again, this was the framework for the whole course. But for the main culminating experience for the course, I was crazy enough or decided to conduct a CASPER, or a student-led CASPER, getting them out in the field. So a little, many of you probably already know this, but you'll hear it again maybe in other talks. But CASPER, it's a rapid needs assessment, first developed by CDC in 2001, second edition 2012, and there's a toolkit online. And we pretty much followed the toolkit for our project. But essentially, it's a specific set of tools that are designed to generate rapid, quick, inexpensive, and accurate household-level estimates about the impacts of a disaster on a community. And for our instances, they could also be applied to non-emergency situations of the disaster management cycle. So given that we don't want to wait around for a disaster to happen in Corvallis, Oregon, we decided to do a CASPER to assess household preparedness in Corvallis, Oregon, the home of Oregon State University. So the students conducted the CASPER to satisfy the following course objectives: to apply EPI methods to identify the impact and determinants of disaster-related death, illness, injury, disability, or other health outcome, develop a rapid needs assessment tool and sampling plan for a community affected by a disaster, and analyze data generated from an EPI field investigation following a disaster. Again, this was all, there wasn't going to be a disaster, but we used the framework of assessing household preparedness. So CASPERs are increasing in frequency. This is a paper published a few years ago showing the number of CASPERs conducted with CDC assistance since 2003. And the black bars indicate those which were responding to a disaster, and the gray bars indicate those CASPERs assessing preparedness of the community. And there are, again, these are just those conducted with CDC assistance. And there have been several since. So the basic method sampling methodology is a two-stage cluster sampling method. In the first stage, we went through a lab exercise to do this. We used census data to identify 30 clusters, and those are essentially census blocks with probability proportional to size of the number of housing units in each census block. At the second stage, we select 7 households using systematic sampling at the cluster level, and that's done in the field. So in advance, we determine the number of housing units in each cluster, and then the goal is to approach 7 households per cluster. So we calculate a sampling interval, K, which is the number of housing units in the cluster, divided by 7 gives us our sampling interval, or K. So students started in the northwest corner of their assigned clusters and proceeded in a systematic fashion to the Kaith house in their cluster. So again, maybe 2 weeks before I got this, we did an extensive lab session going through this, at least the first stage. Second stage they did in the field, but we did a large lab conducting the first stage of the sampling scheme as well as the analyses they were going to run later using EpiInfo. So back to the second stage. This is straight from the Casper toolkit. So in this scenario, there are 58 housing units in the cluster for a sampling interval of 8. So starting in that lower left-hand corner, proceeding to the 8th house, knock on the door, see if they're home, hopefully administer the questionnaire, then go to the 16th house, 24th house, 40th, and 48th, and 56th, moving around this census block. And that's what our students did in the field. Just a quick note, I'm not going to be talking about the results of the Casper in terms of the preparedness of the households. The next speaker is going to cover that, a student in the class. So in terms of a data collection instrument, the students led this. So we use existing CDC templates, existing Caspers, the previous class's instruments, which were based on those same things, and other Caspers. And each year, the students typically have an area of interest to them. That's the next bullet point. Sorry, before I get there, there's a core set of questions that we keep from year to year, mainly having to do with the actual preparedness items, food, water, flashlights, radios, things like that. So as I was saying, each class has an area of interest that they want to focus on or add questions to those core questions. One year, the class is really interested in pets. We had a lot of questions on pets. What are you going to do with them? How many do you have? Reasons for not evacuating was a focus of maybe 2 years ago. And then I think the year before last, they focused on or added questions about the need for outside assistance of members with special needs that might need outside assistance. So data collection, so I put out a call for volunteers. So this year I think there were 11 or 12 students in the class. That's about the average every year. And the goal is to get 10, at minimum, 10 teams of two. So obviously we had less than 20 students in the class. So I put out a call for volunteers, the undergraduate level, other graduate students in the public health program, volunteers, friends and family have served as volunteers. And that's been a really important part of the project. There's undergraduate public health club I advertise in that group as well. So students obtained informed consent, and we have training the last class before, and then an additional training the morning of data collection. So the students obtained informed consent. They administered the roughly 5 to 10 minute interview, and they maintain a data collection log that's needed to calculate response rates. And this is where we had to make some decisions about some of the constraints we have as this being a classroom exercise or a project and not one sponsored by public health that has additional resources. So we, instead of doing multiple days, we revisited houses that weren't home the first round later in the day. So I was just telling some people before, the feedback on the first year I did this, I've done it 4 years now, we did multiple days, the way you're supposed to do it. And there was a lot of pushback on that. Multiple days was a little burdensome to the students. So I switched it just to one day. Now the feedback is one day is not enough. So we try to find a happy medium there. And regardless of whether or not somebody completed the interview, if there was contact made with the household, the students, we had preparedness. We had some information to give households to help them increase their preparedness. So once students collected the interview, we had hard copies of questionnaires. They went. I created a database in EpiInfo. They would go back, enter the data into EpiInfo, export it to an Excel spreadsheet, upload it to our course management system. I'd combine them into one data set, upload it back into our course management system for the students to download and run their analyses, which they did in EpiInfo. I also gave them the aggregated data that they needed to calculate all the response rates. They did that separately. And then once they download the data, they calculated weighted frequencies, projected number of households, and I required that they conduct some bivariate analyses, looking at whatever they wanted to do, looking at differences in preparedness of certain items by housing structure, by renters versus owners, whatever they wanted to do, that was up to them. And then per the CDC, like the CASPER toolkit, all students wrote a final report. I added one extra section of an expanded background section describing the importance of household preparedness and the importance of assessing household preparedness, as well as reporting results from previous assessments, what other folks found. So again, the next speaker is going to talk about what we found in terms of the preparedness of Corvallis, Oregon. But I'm going to talk about the students' perspectives, their feedback on the project, so the evaluation component. So students completed an interview or evaluation form asking them what worked well, what didn't go well, how useful will this be to the community, if we're going to do it again, how can we improve it, 2 days, 1 day, it goes back and forth, and what did you learn? Again, that's my goal of this project was to make it a learning experience. Again, get out of the classroom, go door to door. So what went well? This will be on the next slide too. Navigating the clusters, for the most part, went well. I'll talk about on the next slide, there were some challenges. But for the most part, they were able to administer the sampling scheme. Navigating apartment complexes was a little challenging, but students, they were successful. And they liked having partners. That was going to be a requirement no matter what, but they liked working with an undergraduate or a fellow graduate student. It was a good experience. And they really liked engaging participants. A lot of students didn't have much experience actually talking to people and collecting data. And they really found it as a useful time for participants to actually do some self-reflection about their preparedness levels. And actually, just asking the questions was an intervention in itself. Well, no major issues. That was a plus. I was happy to hear that. What did not go so well or need some improvements? The response rate, pretty much every year it's been right at 30%. We haven't really budged. No soliciting is one reason of the low response rate, but in the months since this CASPER, I reached out to someone at CDC and they said, oh, we knock on doors anyway. But since this was not, you know, an effort from public health, I didn't feel as confident ignoring that sign as if you were public health. You had some more sway and some authority to bypass that sign. So that's one. I might, depending on how well to what extent we partner with public health in the future, we can get around this. There were a few, as you can imagine, census blocks, very odd-shaped census blocks ending in fields and very strange. So there were some navigation issues, but again, this was for a minority of the census blocks or the clusters. I mentioned volunteers were on the previous slide. Some volunteers, they wanted to take some larger roles than what was anticipated, we'll say, and I'll leave it at that. And some of the questions were a little unclear, and maybe some additional pilot testing. We did that a little bit in class. Maybe some additional pilot testing might help. Those are mainly the ones that students add each year. So the other ones we've kind of fixed those. In terms of usefulness to the community, as I mentioned, it brought awareness to the participants. They're thinking, do we have supplies of food and water and medication and an evacuation plan and a meeting spot and all these things? And you'll hear in a little bit the results of that, but it really got them thinking about their own preparedness, which was great. And in terms of the results, identifies items that are missing in the community. That was one of the goals of the actual CASPER, aside from being a learning experience. And how can these can be used to develop interventions to increase preparedness in the community? And since I'm doing this year to year, this will help identify trends. But one note, this was the first year we had informed consent or IRB approval. So that's why we're able to present the findings, what we found this year. So I will be doing this moving forward year to year. Some improvements. Canvassing the assigned clusters in advance. I told the students to do that. I don't think that was done with widespread use. So I think incorporating that into a more organized form as part of the classroom learning experience, I think will help that. And again, that 1 day, 2 day, maybe next year I'll go back to two and I'll get, say, like I said, two's too many. And we did this on the weekend, again, trying to, keeping in mind students have classes and other obligations, that's why I opted for the weekend. Again, we're balancing these constraints of a classroom experience. And there were some comments they wanted to participate in the IRB application process, which I'll certainly incorporate that next year. So I learn things every year and try to make improvements from year to year. So in terms of learning experience, I have some quotes from the evaluation form. So the whole process was learning experience from the beginning steps of how to identify random clusters through to the data entry. I found that although most people thought they were somewhat prepared for a disaster, the way they reacted to questions brought a sense that maybe the interview raised awareness of their lack of preparedness. We asked a general self-assessment question, very prepared somewhat. I learned conducting door-to-door interviews are not as intimidating as I previously thought. This experience helped me to reiterate the importance of teamwork. I was able to gain real-world experience in adhering to methodology, but also being flexible. So I stress flexibility throughout the process. Going through the entire process has also helped me understand that knowing what you will do with the information can shape how and what questions you ask. So that was my big point as we're developing the questions, is make sure you ask them in a way and have response options that allow you to analyze the data appropriately. Another comment about flexibility. I also learned that even though you can plan and organize before going out into the field, that sometimes you have to make decisions that deviate from your original plan. You need to be able to be flexible in order to do so. So some final thoughts, or actually one more thought in terms of there was a safety training component to this as well, as you can imagine, just sending students out into the community. And, of course, the feedback from some of the students. So my overall approach was, when in doubt, get out, is what I was telling the students to do. And, of course, I think that was our first year. They had this story of this classic from like a horror movie where they knock on the door and it slowly opens with this long creak. So, I was preaching safety first. So some final thoughts. It was a valuable learning experience from the students' perspective. I've received feedback from previous students in prior years, and they really enjoy it. Now, again, that was what my goal was, something they can look back to, and if they had to do it again, they can jump right in. So this is from the course evaluation at the end. Students do an electronic evaluation survey. So I think the CASPER exercise is invaluable for students who wish to go into an applied public health, at the environmental in particular. In the event that I am ever in a position in which I must conduct a CASPER or a rapid needs assessment, I'll be appreciative to have this experience to refer back to. And I mentioned this before, but there are some constraints or some limitations to conducting this CASPER as part of a class project. And that's just the reality of it. So we had some limitations. Lastly, I think, beyond this experience, I think it's important, or I want to put out there that state and local health departments can partner with local schools of public health to do projects like this, either a part of a course or, outside the classroom experience. So I'm looking to, other schools have this. Texas A&M has an EpiAssist. Michigan has a version of this where we have this force of EPI or MPH students at the ready to be able to respond to a disaster or some other public health emergency, or even between emergencies to conduct CASPERs such as this. So those of you in public health, reach out to your local schools of public health. I think you'll find some students wanting this experience and wanting to volunteer. And that's for later, so thank you.